Hi everybody, the Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to talk about a couple of things that I think it's good to look at them with a fresh set of eyes, in the sense of knowing the difference between maybe an interest that you have and doing something that I would say is almost out of the ordinary, because you're doing it for maybe, and I'm going to give my own example, but I'll just get to what I'm trying to say. So the play that I wrote, when I've talked about that in the past, when I wrote that play, I wrote a play in 2019 and we produced it on stage. It was called Blurred Lines. And it was what led up to what I call the event. So it was about a real situation, and then I just changed everybody's names and literally wrote it. I found a local director and actors, and we actually put on this play that I wrote. And I do like writing, and I do like writing poetry. There were some things that led to me becoming a little bit disenchanted with poetry, because I've been in a local poets and writers group for about 4 years now. And it's mostly the politics. There's just a few people who are super political, and I get that they're passionate about politics or social movements or whatever it might be, but I just feel like we hear that everywhere, and I just wanted a space where I didn't have to hear about that. And so it just sort of turned me off. But I wanted to point something out that I maybe hadn't really seen in the correct way before. So I told you guys that I thought about, as an extra side job to earn extra money, this year I was thinking of finding like an agent and doing writing for like maybe TVs or movies or whatever, or trying to get a copyright for my play and whatever, and you know, doing things like that. And I told you guys I've been learning about things that I actually struggle with, which I didn't know before, and a lot of it came out of the book that I've talked so much about. And some of those things I learned solutions based on those things of how to actually correct some real problems that I was dealing with. And it's really helped me see things differently. And one of them is, you know, what I've talked about is one of the key ways that you can build your confidence is to engage with genuine interests, genuine hobbies, real things that bring you happiness. And when I got back to thinking, okay, what are some things that I've engaged with that maybe I thought were a hobby for the right reasons, and maybe they actually weren't, I think my writing falls into that. So when I wrote that play, I wrote that about 6 months after the event happened. So I talk about the event. The event is what led to me seeing a therapist who then diagnosed me with complex PTSD, because something so traumatic and life-altering happened. I went and saw a therapist. And I spent real money to see a therapist, and I got a diagnosis much faster, by the way. The more money I spent, the faster I got it, which blew my mind, but it made perfect sense. Because I'd usually always gone to very cheap, affordable therapy programs, because I was poor when I was in my early 20s. You know, I was just young. But, you know, whenever I'm looking back at what are some things I've engaged in and why? So when I think of the play, it was within 6 months of the event happening. My whole world had been turned upside down, and I had lost all faith in people. It was, I would say, the early years into becoming a misanthrope, right? I learned what a misanthrope was out of that book. Basically somebody who's just sick of the world and they're sick of people. And that's what it was turning me into, a misanthrope. I didn't like anybody anymore. And or at least I didn't trust people anymore at all. I still liked some people, but I definitely was freaking out. And I would say more so than the trigger for feelings of incompetence, the trigger of people's behavior not making sense was on explosion zone at that time. Like, it was at 100%. I did not understand people's behavior. I didn't understand people. After that event happened, I just gave up. I was like, I'm giving up trying to figure out people. Nothing makes any sense. So that's how I was feeling. So when I wrote that play, and I had also lost my job about 5 months after the event happened, and so this was getting into the spring of 2018, and that's when I wrote the play. So when I wrote the play, that play was written out of rage. I wrote that was a rage play. So the play was a dark comedy. So I was able to find humor, which is so important. If you're ever at your wit's end, you're going to really need a sense of humor, and you're going to need to watch like stand-up comedy. Whatever can make you laugh is so valuable. So I decided to make the play a dark comedy, and it was very therapeutic, but I was doing all of that out of absolute rage. I mean, I was angry at the world. So I don't know that I want to say that writing is a hobby of mine, and I'm glad I never got a job as a writer. I'm glad that I never actually pursued an agent. If I really wanted to do it, if it was really a hobby and made me happy, I would have done it years ago, but it's not, and it doesn't. I just happened to create something that turned out to be what I would say masterful. Like, everybody was very impressed by it. The audience was crying and laughing, like actually crying. I mean, it was like we literally produced it and had like a 3-night run. But it was literally almost like a fluke. It was a fluke in my life history, because it's just something that happened to turn out to be masterful, but it came out of rage and just me being very determined to make this thing happen and making it happen along with other people. So I don't know that I would consider that a hobby, and it's so important to know that, right? So like I described a couple episodes back, I described somebody who's like being rude and all these other things. And when somebody's engaging in what might look like a hobby, but they're doing it for their image, that's not a hobby. That's them trying to look a certain way, right? And so when I wrote this play, I wasn't doing it to look a certain way. I was doing it out of rage. I was doing it to create something out of nothing, because I had to make sense of things, and that was the only way to make sense of anything. So that's what I did. But I wouldn't call it a hobby. It was a one-time thing where I decided to take action and put something out in front of people's faces and do something. And I wanted to be productive, because if you're not going to be productive when you're feeling rageful, you're going to act out in other ways, right? And that's probably going to get you in trouble. So I tried to do something productive. But it's, you know, probably just a fluke because of where I was. And, you know, it's not a hobby, so I probably won't ever do it again. Now, when it comes to poetry, so I just want to point out, I don't think writing is an actual hobby for me. Not script writing, nothing like that. I thought that it was going to be, and it makes sense why I thought that. But when you really look at where all this was coming from, this was a rage play. This was a rage write, right? Like a writing rage, rage writing. The other thing is poetry. Okay, poetry is a bit different. And a lot of the poetry did stem out of that same time frame. So when I did my first poetry reading in the fall of 2018, part of that was encouraged from a friend for me to join in with it, because I had been telling them that I was writing a play. So I was writing, and it was very therapeutic. And so I did that. I read at a poetry reading, and I will say I was able to get education from other poets beforehand, which helped a lot, because they could see that a lot of my first poetry was venting, and you don't want to just vent because nobody wants to hear that. You have to turn your rage into beauty or into art. So that was very helpful. It was very therapeutic, and I needed that therapy at the time. Again, this was barely a year after the event happened, and I was slowly starting to come back into having a job after being out of a job for 4 months because my job was cut because of a budget problem. So I was coming back into being able to provide for myself again and not be completely desperate for money and work. But this writing was very therapeutic in the sense that it got me from a very dark place to a place where it's important to turn things into art and to find solutions through your writing. And so when I did some of my first poems, they were all about denial or overcoming gaslighting, the narcissist and getting away from a narcissist. I mean, all very therapeutic, and I consider them works of art. Like, some of them I actually even created art pictures for, like three-dimensional sort of artwork with them. And that was very important because you're turning rage into art. Very important, I think, especially for teenagers. If more teenagers could do poetry where they learn that, it's a very big deal. And, you know, I joined a local poets and writers group about 3 or 4 years ago. And we've done things where, like, we write poems for artwork that the local watercolor group or the photographers do. And some of it's been published. But again, I think that was very important for what I was going through. Now, do I consider poetry a hobby in the sense that it brings me happiness? Does poetry bring me happiness? That's kind of a tough question. For me to sit down and write poetry, is it bringing me just monumental joy? I would say no. I would say I really like looking back at some of my poetry, especially The Sword and the Fog, where the young man is angry at all the gaslighting that's going on, and he's trying to cut the fog with a sword, and a carrier pigeon comes down and brings him a message and says, "You can't do that. You can't cut fog with a sword. It's an endless fight. It's a never-ending fight because you can't stab fog. Fog is fog, right?" So this angry young man has a sword and he's angry at the world and wants to fight. And the carrier pigeon tells him to run up on top of the hill so he can see what's on the other side of the hill away from the fog. And he sees his interests, the things that interest him. And the carrier pigeon tells him to run to those things and don't ever look back. Don't look back at the fog, at the gaslighting and everything else. And so it's a perfect metaphor, right? Or a perfect image. It's a perfect poem for what all of that is like. And those interests, you know, that's in the poem. He says, this is something I had forgotten. I used to love so much, you know. And that's the whole point, is you have to love it. So, you know, maybe that poem that I wrote will be my favorite poem of all time, because it is the answer. It's, you know, him running to his interests is, he's going to build his confidence there, right? So, like I've been talking about. So is poetry for me a hobby? I'm going to say, I don't really know. I'm probably going to say no, only because I feel like poetry is almost more, it's almost more just a therapeutic thing. Does it bring me real happiness? No. Does it bring me therapeutic and a clear mind? Yes. So it's definitely therapeutic. It's definitely helpful. But am I screaming for joy because of my poetry? Am I wanting to talk about poetry for hours? Like, maybe I could talk about collecting coins and the history of a coin and the Byzantine Empire or Egyptian coins or Roman coins or, you know, coins throughout United States history. I could talk about that for a really long time. You know, eventually, you know, poetry reaches a certain sort of point, and then it's like, okay, you get the point now. It was therapeutic. But does it bring me actual happiness? I'd probably say no. So there you go. You know, am I screaming for joy for it? I don't think so. But it is very helpful. So I will say that. So it helps you get from one place to another in a way that was one of the most valuable things I could do, because it helps you get things off your mind. And I would always do things where there's two characters who are having the same problem I'm having, and then there's a solution that is found, or there's sort of almost like an Aesop's fable. If you've never read Aesop's Fable, it's a great book. I actually have the book because I like it so much. But that's a good book about lessons, and it reminds me a little bit of the Novel Cure book, because in that book, the ailments, so if someone's a bully, it has in there being a bully, it sort of shows you what's going to be your future if you're a bully. So it reminds me a little bit of Aesop's Fables in a way. But, you know, it's very important to know what is actually bringing you happiness versus maybe what have you done that was therapeutic, but did that actually bring you happiness? You know, it's so important to find, and it could just be one hobby that you're able to find, just one thing that literally brings a smile to your face and brings you joy. Very specific and very different from me writing a play out of rage to expose this horrible thing, right? To expose this manipulation. That was what I was doing when I wrote that play and put it up on a stage. I was exposing them. I was exposing what somebody had done that really angered me. I was like, I'm going to get them. So I exposed them. That's what that play was. Because I was just angry. And the poetry, again, was very therapeutic. But when it comes to things that really bring me a smile to my face, that's what you need to focus on for confidence. And the more you can build your confidence, just the better off you'll be, I swear. Like, you'll just be so much better off. Because so much of the problem of complex PTSD is low self-esteem. It's what trauma does to our brain that causes us to behave in certain ways. And the sooner that we can just build our confidence through things that bring us actual happiness, hobbies that bring us happiness, it's really like the key to everything. It's amazing. So I just can't share that enough. But again, it's important to know, you know, clearly you don't want a hobby that's just for vanity. Because it's not even a hobby. That's just someone acting. And you also don't want something that's just rage. And because, see, I thought that writing was a hobby for me, and it's actually not. It's more of a therapeutic thing for me. That's not a hobby. A hobby is different from that. A hobby is something for pure joy rather than therapy. So I just wanted to kind of point out those differences, because the sooner you know what is a hobby and what's not, the sooner you can engage with the hobby and build your confidence. So, this is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.